radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Coach Sampson's been everything to me, from Coach Sampson down to grandkids. Everybody played a part in me being here for 6 years, and I wanted it so bad for him, so bad, and it hurts because I can't do it next year. I can't put myself in position to do it next year. This will be my last time wearing my jersey, and I feel terrible. I told the younger guys, to the returners, to remember this feeling. So when you in this moment again, or you're in this situation again, you'll be on top.
That's a brutal way to go out. That's Jaywan Roberts after the Cougs fell to the Florida Gators last night, 65-63 in the college basketball national championship, a couple hours west of us in San Antonio. Oh, man, I feel for him more than anyone, given he's been here for, it feels like the entirety of the Kelvin Sampson run. Hell, feels like he's been here since the days of Case Keenum at quarterback for the Cougs. Keenum had posted on social media last night, I'm going to be sick after a true choke by the Cougs down the stretch. It was. Last four possessions ended with the turnover. They had a 12-point lead in the second half. They were winning for 30 minutes and 44 seconds. Florida's winning just 63 seconds of last night's game. Their first second half lead was with 46 seconds to go. It's the third biggest comeback in NCAA title history, coming back from down 14. They did not make a field goal, the Gators did, for the last 3 minutes and 14 seconds of the game. No other way to look at it. It's a joke. And that's what sucks, because you don't want to grill these guys with what they've done all season long, but that's what it is. And then you hear all these guys talking about it afterwards, because you know they know what it was. They don't need to be reminded of it. I think that makes it worse. I feel so terrible for those kids, for it to go down the way that it did and where it was in their control. You're going to have to live with this for a while. And at least in the case of Jaywan Roberts, I mean, he's not coming back next year. He can't. He doesn't get a chance for redemption here. He doesn't get a chance to help his teammates redeem themselves. No, this is it. This chapter of his life is done. That's sports.
Especially college sports.
Ugh.
And he's one of the guys, like you said, stuck around for 6 years. And yeah, he is so much of what the program is now, today, is guys like Jaywan Roberts sticking around. I mean, Jim Nance was saying it. Was it before the Duke game or after the Duke game? I forgot which. But how many of the guys are returning, like they've been with U of H for more than 1 year. Basically everyone except Uzon, who plays, has been at U of H longer than a year, and a lot of these guys have eligibility going forward. Just unfortunately not Cryer, not Roberts, mm-hmm. not these guys that have been so huge to this team the last couple years.
They're going to be great next year. I mean, they're already projected number one team going into the year. They have a lot of the same players coming back next season. So losing LJ Cryer and Jaywan Roberts, I mean, it hurts. But theoretically, they could be right back here next year. That's what sucks, is that you get this far, and it's so hard to get this far the NCAA tournament for any school, like even the good ones. I mean, shoot, look at Duke. Look at where Duke's been, all the players Duke's had all over the past decade. Yeah. And, I mean, they haven't won a national title either. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. This is generally how all of college basketball feels at the end of a season like this.
Calipari only got one at Kentucky. Like,
that's crazy to think of.
Yeah. Bill Self, Kansas, they're the preseason number one. They're a freaking seventh seed
and everyone
lost
thinks
in the first round.
Everyone thinks of Kansas as choking dogs every single year, when it's funny because Self has actually won multiple titles.
Two, I think.
Right, so it's the way college basketball works, but the way that they lost, it was a choke, and it is one of the worst chokes in Houston sports history. Nothing is ever going to overtake, for me, missing 27 straight three-pointers against the Golden State Warriors in the 2018 NBA and Western Conference Finals for the Rockets. Nothing is ever going to be worse than that for me. I was there, so that was part of it, to see them just continuously miss over and over again in a game where, I mean, they had a chance despite no Chris Paul, and it's not like Harden choked in that one, per se, you know?
Yeah.
That one was a lot more, Trevor Ariza.
Trevor Ariza over 10.
Trevor Ariza.
The fact I have that committed to memory shows how traumatizing it was. Because, the worst part about it is they lost. They even missing 27 straight threes, they lost by 9 to the one of the greatest teams of all time. I've compared watching it to just like slowly bleeding out, where some losses are like just getting shot in the face and it's like over immediately. That one was just like so slow and agonizing, just like over the course of 2.5 hours, the life left my body. To me, this one reminds me most of an Astros World Series loss, just because of what we're talking about with how well set up this Cougars program is going forward, and you know that you're going to have some good teams as long as Kelvin Sampson's there. And to me, that's a lot like the Astros glory days, mm-hmm. where specifically to put a year on it, 2019 losing Game 7.
You had won in 2017, though, so it never stings as much.
That is a good point. That's a good point. But there's just a little bit of like I know you're going to, like, this team should be back, but losing in 19, losing in 21, it's just like, you just don't know how many times you're going to make the World Series.
Especially after the scandal for the 2021 World Series. But then you get it back in 2022, and you can put that to rest. It did take some time to get there. The Cougs have never won.
Yeah.
You know, Astros, it's 2 World Series now. Even if there was an asterisk after 2017 in the eyes of many, you know, you didn't really feel that part of the 2019 loss until, what, like weeks later?
Yeah.
Right?
It was like two weeks later or so. Yeah.
For the Rockets, with the loss to the
Warriors,
you had one. I don't know how many people remembered the victory in 94 and 95, the two back-to-back titles you had. I don't know how many people remember that vividly, but I know there's definitely some who did. I'm sure a lot of you guys are listening right now. So at the very least, you have that in your back pocket. But I think this is number two, this loss yesterday. Nothing the Texans have done is on that level. And if you want to say 35-3 for the Bills, we're just going to tell you that belongs to the Tennessee Titans, because the Tennessee Titans used to be the Houston Oilers, and they moved 24-7 up on the Chiefs. Here's the thing. It was early enough in that game, and it's still the Chiefs. It was the early version of the Chiefs, but at that moment in time, I mean, it's more just on brand for what the Texans have always been.
And the sting gets taken out, considering, yes, they're up 24-0. They're down at halftime. They're down 28-24 at halftime.
So quick.
So, it just happened way too quickly. And then, obviously, once they once the Chiefs were down, like, 7, I was like, okay, this thing's over. The Chiefs are winning this game. There's no way that there's going to be a second breath out of this Texans team. So
they got 50 burgered.
Yeah. The Texans, like you said, they haven't really gotten close enough to where you feel your heart shatter.
Right. It's like you won a wild card game. Congratulations. You win a lot of those. You win a lot of AFC Souths. But this is why, when Bill O'Brien says, doesn't matter, Brian, AFC South chances, why we all were like, dude, we don't care.
Yeah, I mean, aim higher.
We need a little higher than that.
Yeah.
From the 3-6-1, the Astros getting swept by the White Sox in the 2005 World Series hurt. Yeah, but
that's
it's a sweep. So it sucks to get there, especially after maybe what had happened in the years before, where, you know, you have those battles with the Cardinals and Albert Pujols is doing things to you. And, you know, that I understand. But I think for that specific World Series, and someone actually texted in from the 832, Albert Pujols level gut punch, nothing else compares.
Yeah, specifically the 05 one, though, is that all, and I double-checked to make sure my memory as a nine-year-old was correct. All these games were super close.
Okay.
So you lost 5-3, you lost 7-6, you lost 7-5. And 1-0.
And the year before, the Red Sox had been down 3-0 in the ALCS.
Exactly.
Maybe
so
you start
still
thinking
had
weird
hope,
things.
Like going, you're down 0-3, and you still had hope because it was relatively recent history. So, yeah, the 0-5 World Series, it's a good one. I don't know, like you said, just the fact that there was never a win or go home. There's never a moment where if the Astros had won a game, they would be the World Series champions. That's what makes it different than the Cougs last night, the Rockets. Back in 2018, in my mind. Although, I guess it was the Western Conference Finals, but come on. They're beating the Cavs that year.
Oh, for sure. That Cavs team had no chance. None.
It wouldn't have been a sweep. The Warriors swept them and, like, swept them pretty easily. Actually, not that easily. But I think that Rockets would have obviously been favored in that. Because that was the no Kyrie Irving
right.
Cavs.
Right. Yeah.
That was the one where the Cavs won in 7 against rookie Jason Tatum.
Some people are bringing up on the Twitch, the list is long for Houston Heartbreaks. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is long.
They called it Choke City back in the day.
You could do
and then they won
ones.
After
you could
that.
Do Rockets ones before 94.
Oh, there's plenty.
You could do, was it 97 against the Jazz?
Mm-hmm.
The John Stockton shot? That's pretty bad.
Yeah, there's a reason people hate the Utah Jazz. It's not necessarily just that it's easy, it's also that
and fun
they got some dubs, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, there's probably some in the 80s as well. You know, I can imagine going up against the 86 Celtics,
yeah,
that Rockets
say,
team
80s...
that you beat the Lakers, like you upset the world, and then you take on that team, and I mean, didn't really have a chance, but still,
yeah, 80s. I don't know the 86 finals super well. But I imagine that one's also tough. I mean, just the whole Sampson era, Ralph Sampson era, it is that probably could fit under that because they're
for sure.
So good with those two guys.
Sean Mace behind the glass on Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. I mean, theoretically, if you want to point at the 86 finals, the Celtics did take a 3-1 series lead with a 3-point victory in game 4.
Okay, so you're close to a 2-2.
They won in 6. Yeah. Right. It was close to being 2-2.
At that point, the best team in NBA history.
And the Rockets did win game 5 of that series. So it was 3-2, but then game 6 was rather one-sided. Anyway, Paul Galacho, you want to weigh in? Yeah, we're here for each other today, okay? We're going to get through this Cougs loss together. I feel like we do. I'd rather talk about the Cougs than a lot of things right now. What are the things I'd rather talk about the Cougs over? How about we go through that on the other side? Stay put.
ESPN. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The 30 minute season over it.
Did you guys feel like you were the better team in terms of how long y'all played and how long you had to lead?
Yes, sir. I feel like we were the better team, you know, but, you know, at the end, they make better plays than us at the end. And you just got to get credit in them, man. I'm just sad to show it.
Did you tell?
I don't know who asked my guy, Malik Wilson, after the game, the question, did you think you were the better team? But F that guy. Don't ask a loaded question like that. And he handled that very well, Malik Wilson, considering the first thought was, yeah, we were the better team, but, you know, that's not how it goes. And give credit to them. Seeing Malik Wilson after this game, as broken up as he was definitely the hardest image of many images that I watched this morning to get a sense for how the Cougs feel about this game, where you know, I know, they choked. Sucks. 65-63, Florida takes them down. I've sensed a lot of people on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, they're wanting us to shake things up a little bit. They're wanting us to talk about other things, you know? And then, yeah. So, I mean, Sean, are there alternative topics today that theoretically we could dive into? Everyone seems to be just beaten down by the sadness of the first hour and 20 minutes of the show.
I mean, we had Astros Mariners last night. Mariners watch 2025.
Okay. How did that go? I didn't watch the game because I was emotionally drained after the Cougs lost.
Well, it probably would have drained you a little bit more emotionally. Mariners win.
Okay, don't care. I don't care. The Mariners won. I don't care, Sean. I don't
you
care.
See this? Hear about this?
What's that?
Cam Smith today would have been the day where he could have been called up and his service side.
Don't care.
He's played in 6 of 10 games.
Oh, so they're mismanaging Cam Smith?
That's 2 hits.
Do people want to dive into that instead of talking about the Cougs? The Astros are mismanaging something? Okay. No.
Yonder Diaz?
What? What? How's he doing?
Not good either.
Is he doing better than Martin Maldonado? He's not. Okay, he's not even doing better than Martin Maldonado. I don't want to talk about that.
I've
I don't care.
I've seen Jordan side by sides with Maldonado. That's how things are going.
I don't care.
Herman.
I don't care about that.
Okay. Let's move away from the Astros. Rockets have been in action. Nothing really going on with the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Can only fall as low as the 3 seed.
Magic number one.
Maybe that they play a coachless Denver Nuggets team. Michael Malone, shocker, got fired with 5 games left in the season. 4 games? 5 games?
That is actually shocking. That is kind of weird. That it is pretty crazy that two definitely going to the playoffs in the West teams
fired
their coaches within a week. And there's not really much of an explanation.
No, and they fired Calvin Booth, the GM, as well.
What?
they cleaned house.
Right, that's kind of interesting.
On a team that's, alive for either the 3 or the 4 seed.
But nothing matters, okay? Nothing matters.
Yeah, no.
That doesn't, and that specifically, that's not jumping the Cougs losing.
Okay. Do you see Shedeur Sanders pats the ball before he throws it?
What does that even mean?
And he throws it. And left hand pats it, and then he throws it. And,
he pats his balls before he throws them. Okay.
Yeah, he pats his balls before he throws them.
Well, to each their own.
Yeah.
Some people are into that.
Andre Sisco, Jags legend, was like, hey, watch out, kid. That's going to get intercepted on the next level.
Oh.
And then, get this, offensive players were like, actually, it's not that big of a deal. And defensive players were like, no, it is a big deal. And then it became about how the media hates Colorado,
Okay. Even
though the guys who talked about it were
NFL
players.
I'm back to not caring, Sean. It's draft season out.
I mean, we're so close to the draft. We're only 3 weeks away.
2 days. 2 or 3 days. We're giving it 2 or 3 days. I can tell everyone's out of draft steam because of that being a story yesterday.
Pass the ball.
There's already.
Will it work on the next level? Someone's asking questions about Shedeur Sanders.
No, we're already at NFL draft fatigue. I'm glad we have not done anything about it.
I think I got you with this one.
Uh-huh.
Former MLB pitcher and Astro reliever, Octavio Dotel, was at a nightclub in the Dominican Republic.
I spent a lot of time this morning while I was in the midst of being sad looking at this. This is truly tragic. I saw lots of videos from inside. Yeah, this club was falling apart. So I've seen conflicting reports on whether or not Dotel made it. I think in this club in the Dominican, Nelson Cruz's sister passed away.
Yes. 44, it says,
insane.
From ESPN, at least 44 people killed, 160 injured.
Yeah, and I know Dotel's been pulled from the roof collapse, but I've also seen conflicting reports about his actual status right now. So I don't know what's going on. Truly, truly tragic. So yeah, if we hear anything new on that, we'll keep you posted. I would report it. I'm not. Just because the Cougs lost is no reason for us to be wrong about whether or not someone, you know, passes away. On a serious note, can't do that.
Hard turn. Uh-huh. Yankees Cody Bellinger scratched from today's game due to bad chicken wings.
You know, if the Astros didn't have a similarly ridiculous scratch.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
From their starting rotation, I would laugh at that a little bit more.
This guy's going to be out for months. Spencer Arrighetti fractured the second thumb-related injury in practice for a Houston athlete in the last 3 months.
Oh, yeah. What was the other one?
Jabari Smith broke his thumb at
shoot-around. Wait, what is happening?
And then Spencer Arrighetti has a thumb fracture after getting hit with the line drive as he was playing catch.
Which is also insane. So wait, Mariners batting practice was taking place, and a ball hit Arrighetti in the thumb.
Practice?
Right. This is.
I thought it, I don't know why, but it's better if it's friendly fire.
This is an assassination attempt.
I know that.
To a degree.
Yeah. I suspect list. Big dumper number one.
At least it's not thumb discomfort. They did say it was a fracture.
Yeah, that's the news
progress
that I want to get to, is that they actually gave a diagnosis.
Oof. Yeah, and none of those things are making a move, Sean.
How about this quote from a story about the torpedo bats?
Yeah.
Quote, a small difference, but a big difference. Talking about the bats. It's a small difference.
Oh, okay.
But it's a big difference.
So it was just a completely ridiculous story that had because.
Oh, but it's a big difference.
Of a headline. But it's a little difference.
But it's a small difference as well. But also, Paul, big difference.
Okay. Someone texted in. Obviously, Bellinger didn't buy his chicken wings from the poultry auction committee. That's true.
Obviously.
That's true. No, I had some wings last night. They were very good. My mouth is watering. I'd rather think about wings than thinking about the Cougars losing. But you want to weigh in on the L, 713-780-3776 to call into text, and we are your therapy session after a tragic Houston sports loss last night for our beloved Cougs. The Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Cougs lost the national championship last night. You want to weigh in on that? We'll get back to it momentarily. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. The other things happening in Houston sports. The Astros lost again, this time to the Seattle Mariners. No one's getting hits. And Spencer Arrighetti broke his thumb at batting practice. He wasn't actually batting. A Mariner hit a ball that somehow hit him on the thumb and broke it. Yeah. It's been a rough day. Rough day in Houston sports. As we go around the National Football League, Aaron Rodgers, he's still yet to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. People think that he might be about to do that, and that if an announcement is made, it theoretically could be made while Rodgers is with Pat McAfee tomorrow. I guess tomorrow, Pat McAfee's doing some sort of homecoming show at PPG Paints Arena. And there's a chance people believe that Rodgers is going to use this event with Pat McAfee to announce that he is joining the Steelers.
Okay, okay.
Instead of doing it through Schefter or Rappaport or any of these other media people that Rodgers clearly does not seem to like. Diana Rossini, I think another one who's randomly taken shots at. Yeah.
Okay. So driving in, I was listening to the ESPN National show before John and Lance.
Okay.
And they were talking about like, well, if he signs tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. I was like, why are they talking about him signing tomorrow? Like, they never brought up why people think that he's going to sign tomorrow. They're just kind of midstream, like, I was like, oh, it's because he's going to be on McAfee.
Because Pat McAfee's hosting a show. And they're like, it's going to be Coachella, where Aaron Rodgers shows up in the middle of the event with a discount double check belt. He just comes out on stage. Boom!
Yeah, like Beyonce at the whatever that was, Grammys or VMAs, where she announced she was pregnant. Like,
yeah.
He's just going to rub his belly.
Yeah.
And it'll be a Pittsburgh Steelers logo on.
Maybe the Costco guys come out to help with the announcement.
I mean, McAfee, what are you doing if you don't get the Costco guys?
I bet McAfee could get the Costco guys on.
Boom, boom,
boom. Five big booms for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Continuing to go around the National Football League, Adam Schefter's reporting that Travis Hunter will be the second overall pick of the 2025 NFL draft, that he'll go to the Cleveland Browns. So, based off of what we believe to this point, the Titans have the first overall pick. They're going to take Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami, and Travis Hunter goes second overall.
That's makes sense. I mean, if you're to ask like who the best player in this draft is, Travis Hunter. Makes sense that a quarterback would go ahead of him to a quarterback needed team, a good quarterback, Cam Ward, a really good quarterback. And okay, Cleveland getting wide receiver / cornerback.
So the Giants are on the clock at number 3, and if they want Shedeur Sanders, they theoretically could get Shedeur Sanders.
I would take Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter instead?
I think I would.
Carter, the pass rusher from Penn State. Those are the consensus top 4 picks: Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter. That's all you need to know about the draft at this point. Also, it's taking place in Green Bay, and that's stupid.
And Jalen Milroe is going to be there.
On
Thursday, for some reason.
Well,
maybe he gets drafted. You know, maybe he gets drafted in the first round. Last year, I don't think we thought that there's going to be. I don't think we thought. Well, we didn't think Penix and Nix were going to go in the first round.
True, but never it's not happening 2 years. It's not happening 2 years in a row. He's getting Geno Smith.
That is true. Will Levis. Will Levis was in the green room.
And Will Levis was at least there with his hot, strong, powerful, independent woman girlfriend, who eventually went viral for videos with Will Levis online. You know,
don't have to do that part.
At least he had comfort with him at that moment in time. His lady was there. I don't know if Jalen Milroe is dating anybody, but you want to go to Green Bay and just sit there and not get drafted, and then go back the next day and still be in Green Bay? There's nothing to do on a Thursday night in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't even know if the bars are open.
I am surprised that they're getting guys to commit to it. Now, they are getting a guy that I didn't think was a first-round pick to commit to go there, but I thought this would set the record for guys celebrating in their houses.
Yeah.
Second to 2020, where they had to be in their houses. I think this would be the second one where I have a hard time seeing Shedeur Sanders being like, hell yeah.
Yeah, me too. Continuing to go around the National Football League, Joe Milton had an introductory press conference at the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice.
You're doing introductory press conferences for your backup quarterback that you traded a 5th-round draft pick for? All right.
Well, backup quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Jim.
I mean, I do think that there's a chance that he challenges Dak Prescott, but it's more based off of the fact that he played a little bit last year and he was fun.
I think the biggest challenge that he presents to, or the only way he starts, is if Dak Prescott can't practice because he's still recovering from his horrific torn hamstring.
I will be really upset if the Patriots trade the next Tom Brady to the Cowboys. Not to say Joe Milton is necessarily the next Tom Brady.
He has a long ways to go.
But there's some Brady vibes in that. Like, Milton's came in the same draft class as Drake May and clearly doesn't think Drake May's good. And this is what Milton had to say about working with Dak. It's great. He's a great person. It's my second time meeting him. So just being around him, I feel the great energy he brings. And I'm just willing and looking forward to learning from him and really competing. So there you go, Joe Milton. Yeah. Braden Smith. You hear about this guy? He's a Colts right tackle. And apparently he suffers from a very debilitating diagnosis of obsessive compulsive disorder.
Oh.
Like, he's got it real bad.
Is it like he doesn't like things are dirty? Or
no.
Oh.
No.
It's I don't like it when Anthony Richardson's jersey is dirty. That's why I'm a great tackle. It's not him using his superpower for good.
this is... I actually read this article. It's in the Indy Star. It's written by Joel Erickson. The day before Thanksgiving, Braden Smith drove to the team facility, sat down to breakfast, abruptly got up, and returned home to take a nap. Sleep had become the only place he could keep his growing religious scrupulosity, a type of obsessive-compulsive disorder, at bay. I have never heard of that before.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we get a dictionary.com on scrupulosity?
I'm looking it up right now. I remember reading, I was like, there's a specific version of this. So, scrupulosity is a subtype of obsessive-compulsive disorder involving religious or moral obsessions. Scrupulous individuals are overly concerned that something they thought or did might be a sin or other violation of religious or moral doctrine. They may worry about what their thoughts or behavior mean about who they are as a person. Damn.
Wow.
So you're like just taking being religious really serious.
Yeah. You're just like hardcore. Like, woof. Oh my God, God's pissed at me.
Behavioral compulsions may include writing prayers to check that they're done correctly, excessive confession, repeatedly seeking reassurance from religious leaders and loved ones, repeated cleansing and purifying rituals, acts of self-sacrifice, treating attendance of religious services as obligatory when they are not actually so.
Wow. Crazy stuff.
That's a lot. So that is Braden Smith, the Colts right tackle. There's an article that's been written about this. Pretty interesting stuff. Things that I've never thought about before.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is one of those things where in 2025 we have a word for religious scrupulosity. In the olden days, he would just be like the High Sparrow or something.
Yeah.
In Game of Thrones.
Maybe. It's a lot. It does make me remember sometimes we use the word obsessive compulsive too much to describe people that are not actually obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, I thought this was just going to be one of those where he's wiping things down at the facility.
No. No, he wants to wipe himself down from the sin after, like, probably stepping on an ant.
You know, I'm sure this is hard to live everyday life like this, but also better than the alternative of being unscrupulosity, the religious, like, hell yeah, I'm doing bad stuff, and I like it.
Well, that's fair.
You know, at least you're on this side of worried that you're you know.
Yeah, what if you're obsessive compulsive about ever being good, and you're like, yeah. Damn, was I or just
you're
good?
You're a Satanist who's has this condition.
Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. The Cougs lost. Everything's bad. Nothing matters. Stick around.
The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
If you'd have told me that rebound would be about the same, we'd have less turnovers, we'd hold their two best guards, Martin and Clayton, to 5 for 20, I would assume we would win. But, you know, we needed to play a little bit better offensively.
Summed it up pretty well, and I think that's why last night 65-63, Cougs lost to the Florida Gators in the national title, stings. The Cougs choked this thing away. They had a 14-point lead. They led for over 30 minutes, where Florida led for a minute. They did what they needed to. They held Florida to 39% shooting. You heard Kelvin Sampson talking about it right there. Walter Clayton Jr. was 1 for 7 from outside. He had just 11 points, 0 points in the first half. One of the Gators' other primary shooters, Aaliyah Martin, that guy, 1 for 6 from outside. The only guy that really was able to do anything from a shooting perspective for Florida was Richard. Will Richard hit 4 threes. But outside of that, the Cougs defense smothered Florida. They just forgot how to play offense down the stretch. They choked away a 14-point lead. And to get all the way to the end, only to lose, and to lose like that, especially with the knowledge of how hard it is just to get to this specific game, sucks. It just sucks. It's worse than any hangover, and the uncertainty that you'll ever be able to get past this point, especially when you consider the Cougs are 0-3 all time in the national title. It just sticks with you. And there's no real way to make up for it. There's no way to make up for not knowing how to do offense down the stretch. And that's what happened. They just looked discombobulated. And specifically those last two sequences in the last 30 seconds where Emmanuel Sharpe had not one but two mess-ups. You'll be thinking about those instead of all the great things that Emmanuel Sharpe did up to that point to get the Cougs to this point. Brutal. I feel for these kids. I hope they're able to shake it off. But, you know, for Jawan Roberts, that's it. 6 years at Houston are done. And LJ Cryer, his time at Houston's done. So now this team, which already the number one team going into next season on way too early predictions, they're going to have to use this to motivate them. But, I mean, how much more motivation do you need? You got all the way to the end, and you lost a close game at the very end of a game that you were winning the whole way through. Like, what can you do in an offseason to make yourself feel more confident that this won't happen again? I think that's what sucks the most. You know, it'd be one thing if they got there, and we were all like, oh, I mean, they were playing with house money. They didn't deserve to get there. But when you are the Big 12 de facto regular season champs and the Big 12 conference tournament champs, and then you get all the way to the national title, yeah, and you lose by 2 points in a game that you led for 30 minutes, I mean, damn.
You win 15 straight games
before
the title game. It was a team that felt like it was absolute. I mean, we talked about it all year where it felt like it was the best team of the Samson era, and it was kind of cresting to this moment. You know, I mean, credit to them. They did get way closer than all these other teams. It just couldn't quite get there. And yeah, I mean, you'll be thinking about the Emmanuel Sharpe stuff, the last two possessions. Yeah, I mean, again, the last possession isn't on Sharpe. Could he have made a better decision? Maybe. That
it was on everybody.
Yeah, that play was going nowhere anyway. So he just got stuck with the ball last.
Right.
But
to what you were saying earlier, the screens were not happening
there.
Screens
are terrible.
I don't know what LJ Cryer was trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all standing basically in a line at the top of the three-point line.
Yeah, on the right wing.
There was no spacing at all. Right. Like, everything got really crowded, and they were so slow trying to get into their set. And Florida, to their credit, I mean, they played it great.
Yeah.
They were aggressive, and they did not give them an inch. And, I mean, it was a two-point game. They only needed 2 points.
I know. I cannot express how surprised I was that it looked like they were going for a three. Like, even I get after the game, because after the game they said that was called for Cryer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the read one. Read two was that elevator screen for Sharpe. And they're apparently Florida was all over the Cryer part, and I mean, they're all over the Sharpe part too.
Yeah,
Sharpe looked open. Credit to Clayton for closing out. Smaller guy too, closing out that way, and forcing a weird attempt where you could see that Sharpe kind of short circuited there.
Good way to describe it. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Our friend Gary has a thought on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Gary, what's up?
Hey, I don't feel sorry for U of H kids here in Houston. I'm disgusted with Samson. And the reason I am, because every year he recruits. Yeah, they get there, but they're always second fiddle. And sure, you want to be there. But damn it, they will never get over the hump with him recruiting the same 6-foot-tall guards who shoot 20% from the free throw, from the field goal, from the layup, from all his teams are horrible shooters. Sure, they can get streaky. Sure, their defense is good enough to beat some teams, but not enough to tip you off. And this notion defense wins championship in football, basketball, and all that. Damn it, if you can't make your free throws, damn it, like in football, if you can stop them, but your defense doesn't score touchdowns, what good is it? You can just be 0-0. They do not shoot the ball well. And I don't, for the God of me, I'm pretty sure they've had some recruits that wanted to come there that had a higher field goal percentage and free throw percentage than the kids on the field. Yes, they can rebound. Yes, they dive for loose ball. Yeah, they can run a mile in under 2 minutes. But damn it, instead of running a mile on the track, shoot more free throws at practice. That game was lost at the free throw line, and great kids. And even though they shut down that boy from Florida, when it counted, got to the cup. When it counted, he made his free throws.
Gary, I appreciate the passion as always. But hang on. Disgusted. They lost by 2 to a 1 seed. You're right about the free throw thing. It's college. 5 free throws missed. Not good. But I, you said it at the very end there, after getting through all the things that piss you off about Kelvin Sampson, Gary, because you don't like that they do not bring in shooters. LJ Cryer is 6'1", but Cryer was a national champion at Baylor.
Yeah, scored 30 points against Duke.
Right. I mean, this was the team that had shooting. You want to get mad at it last year? Rashed goes down and they had no chance to even move the ball. Because that's what happened last year. When Shed went down, like, they had no ability to dribble. I can't believe they kept it as close as they did against Duke last year.
Yeah, that was straight. That Duke game last year was that was a
they hung fight. Around. Yeah. The only thing that I'm going to accept as far as Kelvin Sampson criticism today is that whatever the hell was drawn up at the end was a mess. But he can't get the players to do what is supposed to be done out there. The intensity to what you were saying, Gary, like the Walker-Clayton defense, they shut his ass down. This guy was the best player in the tournament. They shut him down. He did get some moments at the end of the game, but, I mean, he ended with 11 points. If you are even in the rebounding matchup and Florida's best player, as Kelvin Sampson said after the game, is 1-for-7 from outside and 3-for-10 from the field, you're feeling really good about yourself. Yeah. You lost by 2 games. Like I can't be disgusted. I can't be angry. And I don't know, Gary, you don't feel bad for them? You know, they get all the way to the end, and it ends like that, and Gary's left. So
Yeah, he hung up.
Listen, he Gary gets his points across, but I disagree with the majority of what he said there. The things that you're pointing at, like, that's not why they lost. You know, 713-780-3776 to call it, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. What do we have? From the 832, that was the worst final play I've seen in a big college game since Chris Webber called a timeout with Michigan. Chris and Humble. That's up there. Oof. Another text. From the 832, you would think the Cougars lost by 30. This is why Houston fans don't deserve bleep. Come on. They will ride the wagon, and as soon as they lose, cry city. Damn! Okay, I get that there's some college-on-college crime here, right? Like, ultimately, I understand that even though we are in the city of Houston, there's a lot of people here who maybe are Texas fans or Texas Tech fans or Texas A&M fans, and you hate the Cougs. I would say Texas Tech is probably number one.
Texas Tech, I get it's Big 12 on Big 12. There's some people being like, huh, not so easy to hold a lead against Florida, which is a sad way to trash talk. But I also was surprised. I was like, whoa, I didn't know the knives were out for the Cougs coming from Lubbock. But yeah, I think there's some of that. I think there's definitely some of that. I think people are being too dramatic, though.
I agree. I mean, they choked this for sure, but you got to be mad about it. I can't be mad. I feel bad for them. Like they know what they did. It's like a puppy that that did something wrong and knows it did something wrong and is really upset. And I feel bad for the puppy. Like I don't feel the need to extend discipline here. they know they messed up, and they got to live with it. So I, as somebody who is empathetic at times, feel more empathy than I feel anger or rage about them blowing a 14-point lead. I know I might be alone on that front, but that's my big thought, is I feel hungover watching them blow it the way that they did, and then hearing them talk afterwards. It does feel like a death happened. And obviously it didn't. You know, you get what I'm saying. But I just feel really awful for them. And maybe that is patronizing. Maybe I'm just as bad as Walter Clayton patting Emmanuel Sharpe on the head after that awful sequence to end the game. But that's where I'm at. Sean Mays behind the glass and Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975 from the 281. The Cougars loss is on me. I'm an Aggie fan. I was cheering them on. Our pitiful program rubbed off on them through me. I did not make up that text. That's an actual text. On the other side, if you want to blame something else, have at it. We'll give you 10 minutes to blame not the Cougars for what happened last night. Just 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.